Your website is the mousetrap. Your content is the cheese. Welcome to Content Matters, tasty marketing ideas for your commute. Your hosts on the Sonic Adventure are Andy Crestedina of Orbit Media and Barry Feldman of Feldman Creative.
Here we are, Barry. We're back. It's Content Matters.
Hey, Andy. Good to talk to you. I love Content Matters.
It matters, doesn't it? It matters a lot.
Matters to me. And if we have readers and now listeners and viewers, hopefully it matters to them, or time for us to find new jobs.
It matters to audiences. It matters to brands. It matters to readers and visitors and subscribers. And of course, in this case, hopefully it matters to listeners. So we've got another podcast for you, and we've got a theme for the day. Barry, what's our theme this time?
Research matters. Right. You gave it a question title, but yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about content marketers who go the distance and put in the work to create research and provide data to their audience.
Yeah. So research, of course, we're going to talk about research as a format, research-based content as a format for content. But research is also just a really important part of writing in general. Right? I mean, how do you know what to write unless you've done some homework first and gathered your thoughts and structured it and planned it accordingly?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if we're talking about nonfiction writing, for sure, I suppose there are forms of writing you can somehow get by without research. But I think you're not going to talk to too many writers, and particularly in the blogosphere today, that wouldn't agree with that statement wholeheartedly.
Oh, yeah. And for a lot of us, I think research is almost the biggest piece of the job, right? Let me ask you, champion marketer, Barry, how much time do you spend researching compared to just actual writing when you create a piece of content?
The comparison, that would force me to measure it, I guess, or research my research, but a lot. You know, there's no doubt about it, a lot. I'm writing an ebook right now about how to make a website. I think you and I have discussed that one, and I'm doing it for Marketing Profs, and it's becoming quite a volume. And while I know how to make a website or write a website or develop a website, I don't think that the piece comes together as interestingly if it's just me pontificating or reflecting my experiences. So yeah, it's a roundup, so to speak, whether all the sources get credit or not, of a lot of different perspectives. And so the answer to your question is I spent a lot of time researching. And generally speaking, I share that research, you know, in the forms of links and attributions and stuff, you know, as do most great writers. And so I guess it depends on the content itself. But certainly for written content, such as, I suppose, my mainstays, blog posts, ebooks, infographics, the answer is a lot, and at least as much as writing, probably more.
Probably more. I think for a lot of people, the prep work, the forethought, the sitting down, the structure, the organizing, the gathering your assets, and you know, kind of curating all the different things that are going to be contributing to your post or to your article or to your newsletter, whatever it is. So that's huge. But really what we want to get into now is research as a format, research-backed content. So you and I have been collaborating on a piece, and here's how it goes. The theory is that creating research-based content just launches your quality into the stratosphere, and you're going to produce something that is way more shareable, way more link-worthy, way more something that people will – way more likely to get read because it's original. It's original. So research is a way to create original content. We want to give you guys a couple of tips for how to do that. I want to start with this. My theory is that every industry has something that is – frequently asserted, but never really supported. It's like the missing stat. Every industry has a missing stat, probably many of them. I've been noticing examples recently, and I just came across one on the Listerine website. 76% of people consider bad breath a dating deal breaker. They just did a little survey and produced a soundbite that is just an awesome piece of content. Of course, this is a B2C brand, and it's a very specific thing. It's kind of, you know, social bait in their funnel there, and I can imagine how that's working well for them. But people can produce really high-value research, the kind of thing that gets cited by major media, the kind of thing that it gets linked to from Wikipedia. Barry, we've been working on one now together, which is the blogger survey.
Yeah, we certainly have. What's the bad breath one again? 76%?
76% of people consider bad breath a dating deal breaker.
You know, it's a good thing I'm past my dating days.
It's a good thing that we're not in the same room, maybe, if that's the case.
Yeah. yeah, we haven't added scent to the internet
maybe
yet.
That's good.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about what we've been doing. I mean, you gave birth to it, and I suppose it gave birth to the idea that today's topic is about research content or content that's research-based. Mm-hmm. And so that project is year two for you, or Orbit Media Studios, who discovered, I think, you know, to speak to what you just said, a missing link, you know, a questions that need to be answered. And so while it's about business blogging, people, I probably should have put that forth mm-hmm. right away. And so while, you know, there's probably a fair amount of research that preceded yours about the length of blog posts and so forth, but it inspired all kinds of questions that were unanswered in your mind. And so for the second year now, you asked, I think, the same 11 questions, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. going to evolve a little bit. Yeah, so you rounded up a lot of bloggers, 1,000 bloggers, big time project, lots of work, mm-hmm. and asked them questions about how they do what they do. And while that was an attractive post, and I think it you know, probably become, if it hasn't already, one of your most popular, mm-hmm. It occurred to me that it should be repurposed this, that, and every which way. And so now it is an infographic. Mm-hmm. It has, you know, thanks to me playing the role of guest blogger, it has made its way to copy blogger mm-hmm. and over the weekend marketing mm-hmm. profs. But we're just getting warmed up, right? You know, now we're talking about it. So that's another repurposing, and it's about to become a SlideShare. And I suppose you'll probably get interviewed about it a lot if you haven't already, yep. and you know, soon to be webinars. So yeah, your take on that stuff so far? I mean, that's a good one.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. So what happens is you reach out to a major publication. We're in the industry of marketing, so we're talking about like the Jay Baer and the Brian Clarks and the Ann Handleys, and you say, yeah, I've got this thing. Would you like to cover it? Now, why do they say yes? They say yes because it's good. Well, because it's Barry and he's wrapped it up in a bow and it's gorgeous. But they say yes because it's high quality, because it's research, because it's new, because it's information that didn't exist before. So a recommendation is you can use research. Anyone can produce research, right? Anyone can do this survey. Anyone can reach out and gather and find a piece of data that no one else had produced and then publish it and own it. And you are the source for that data. People say, oh, content quality is so hard. Oh, how do I create quality content? Well, this is the key. Yes, it's hard. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not luck. It's hard because it just takes work. So the path is very certain. You just have to take every step down the path. Here's another. And so this is the blogging survey year two. Ask 1,000 bloggers and you produce data that suggests things like this. The average blog post takes 2.5 hours to create. How do we know that? We just asked 1,000 people and we averaged all their answers.
I don't feel that research is hard to produce. You know, maybe it's hard to get a good idea for it, but I think research is, you know, a test of your persistence. You know, like, mm-hmm. was it hard for you to produce this research? I think it was just time consuming.
You know, it reminds me, so you know this about me, I majored in Mandarin in college, and it's a foreign language degree, and Mandarin takes a long time to learn. And people say, oh, that must have been really hard. And the word hard never fit for me. It's the same thing. It's not that it's harder to learn Chinese. It just takes longer. Some things just take a long time. There's a step-by-step process, and you know what the next step is in the process. It's the next chapter in the book, and gradually you can talk to people in Chinese. Research is the same way. You're absolutely right. It's not that it's more difficult. It's just more time-consuming. I totally agree with you 100%. It's about persistence.
Yeah, I think it uncorks the answer to, you know, about, you know, forget about research for a second, about content. Why is high quality content hard to produce? And it, to some degree, you can extrapolate this from the infographic we did or the research you did. It takes time. You know, it takes time to write a great book. It takes time to make a great movie. Mm-hmm. It takes time to build a great building, you know. And so most content marketers don't want to put in the time. And most creators don't want to, you know, most people are looking for quick gratification. I hear all the time when I'm helping people start a blog, they go, well, we're going to do what Seth Godin does. You know, Seth Godin has a couple of sentences to say each day. That's good enough for his audience. And I'm like, well, but you're not Seth Godin. You know, he has a lot of books and he has, you know, millions of followers.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's not going to work.
Here's another one that I saw recently that was interesting. This is relevant to you, Barry, and a lot of marketers. GroupHi. Influencer marketing platform found this statistic.
Yeah, blogger outreach, maybe.
Yep. How much should I budget for an influencer marketing strategy that involves sponsored content? The average mid-level influencer charges a brand $200 to $500 per post. That data did not exist before GroupHi produced it. How? By reaching out to a lot of bloggers and asking how much they get paid per post. So they produced this nice little chart. It's gorgeous. You can see 5% of people get $1,000. You know, there's like a different range, and it's data that didn't exist. It exists now, and it's not only is it original, but this is what the internet wants. The internet does not want another medium quality post. They want something that's new and create a new statistic, find the missing stat, and your audience will thank you for it.
Yeah, it's the info net. It might be a better name than the internet now, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? What did Gore call it? The information superhighway?
Yeah, he did. That's exactly right.
Right. So this is the information age, and so you know you become the source of the deliverer of information. You get all the benefits of that come with it, with you know, including traffic and so forth. But I think you know, first and foremost, credibility, authority.
Yeah, people say, oh, it's really hard to produce high quality stuff. It's really hard to get people to engage with my stuff. I think this might be what's missing, is that people fail to create something that is really worth sharing, that is really worth citing. So that article that we mentioned, the one that the blogger survey, it was about 120 hours of work the first year. We estimate around 150 hours of work the second year. And that's an insane amount of time to produce one single post. But the benefits are ridiculous. If you're going for shares, it's in the thousands. If you're going for links, it's in the hundreds. Hundreds of websites have linked back to this post and cited it in their content. So, but that's a matter not just of creating the research. Barry, tell us more about how you've packaged this and promoted it, and all the tactics you've used since we began collaborating on it.
Well, it became an infographic, and I suppose, you know, one of the things that makes research meaningful to people is simplifying it. Really, one of the things that makes anything interesting to people is simplifying stuff. And so, you know, this is not to accuse the original data that you presented as complicated, but there were 11 charts, and those charts really you could call 22 charts because they juxtaposed 2014 with 2015. And so when you showed it to me, I said, all right, well, how can we make this, you know, meaningful to people if they're going to spend a minute or so with it, you know, sort of the average visit to a blog post. Hopefully we do better than that. But, you know, the answer I was looking for was, you know, how can this be meaningful in a minute or so? And so you and I bounced around how to extract what we thought really mattered most. And interestingly, I think kind of an aside here, but I think research creates research. I think we also discovered questions we want answered next time you do this next year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we simplified it. And so that infographic left a lot out of your original post. And of course, as I pitch it to the publishers that you mentioned, the Convince and Convert, Marketing Profs, and Copy Bloggers, obvious places where the audience are bloggers. Mm-hmm. We are making it uber relevant by talking about, you know, the burning issues. And so I think ultimately it came down to four of them. Mm-hmm. You had 11 questions, and you extracted a lot of different takes from those questions. And now we're going to do that in the slideshow, where we expect people to spend a little more time with it, and it starts all over again. And like I said, though it's sort of accidental repurposing, we're talking about it now. And I suspect you and I are going to do a webinar about it, or at least propose that various websites that offer webinars consider either you and I or both of us to talk about it. Now I feel like part owner of it now.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, there's probably no end in sight, you know, and it's going to create interesting research. I think I left it out of my answer just now, but what I spoke about was it creating new questions. And my questions to you along the way were, okay, the length of the post, the time spent on the post, the way mm-hmm. the post is promoted, some of these things, how are these going to track to effectivity? You know, sure. Next year we're going to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a brilliant case study in repurposing. Producing the data, really, the data itself is kind of boring. We're recommending that you produce data, but data isn't necessarily entertaining. It's not necessarily visual. It's not necessarily easily shared. It's not necessarily very compelling. So how do you turn that piece of research into something that everyone wants to talk about? It's a conversation. It spreads around the web. That's what Barry's been doing. So it's first, it's about publishing it in multiple formats. In that case, it was infographic. Now it's SlideShare. Now it's moving to interview formats, and it's going to be, you know, presenting it at webinars and things. But the work that goes into creating it, you're going to have a very long lifespan now as you spin this out into different formats. I've got some research here that I should share that is that supports this theory that we're proposing, which is research is what crushes on the internet, that original content is what will win. People link to data, people link to sound bites, people link to you're going to have, you know, there's more to repurpose there. This is a study done by BuzzSumo and Moz, and they analyzed a million blog posts. Randomly grabbed a million blog posts, and here's a couple of highlights from this giant study. When they pulled 100,000 posts out of there, they found that 50% had two or fewer Facebook interactions, and 75% of these posts had zero links. So most content gets no results at all, basically not getting any search or social traction. Now, when they went deeper into the content, they found that a tiny percentage gets much, much more of the traction, and there were two types of content that got that. That correlated with high shares and high links. And those two, so our research finds there are specific types of content that have high correlations of shares and links. This content attracts both. And in our sample, authoritative, research-backed content and opinion-forming journalism for major news sites. Now, I have the option to create research-backed content. I actually don't really have the option to create opinion-forming journalism. So I'm going to skew toward the research side because I don't know how to create opinion-forming research journalism. I'm not really a journalist, so that's not an option for me as a content marketer.
You might be the accidental opinion former, you know, because you have opinions. And I, even in your post where, you know, you came to the opinion, and I suppose it's fact-based, but there's a little bit of connective tissue in between you to sort of you know, rationalizing it, that blogging's become more of a serious profession than it used to be.
Yeah. That's a take on the research, but just because people blog at all times of day, it takes a lot of work. Hey, Barry, it's time for Mousetraps and Cheese. You ready?
Already? Oh, man, time flies when we're content mattering.
Mousetraps and Cheese. Barry Feldman's going to give us a cheese tip. That's how to attract visitors. We're going to bring mice in, and then I'm going to give you a conversion tip, which is the mousetrap, which is how to catch mice and maximize the percentage of people who take action on our websites. So Barry, kick us off with your cheese.
All right. So cheese refers to the creation, I suppose, or the promotion of content. And I'm going to punt here because I actually sort of said a lot of what I wanted to say for this in that I was talking about finding the gaps. You know, research sort of creates new questions that need to be answered. And therefore, if you're soon to do research or looking for stuff to do research about, you know, you might find it inside of relevant research inside of your industry. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to punt now and talk about a technique, I think, that makes it a bit easier. We talked about quality, effort, time, you know, when you get right down to it, research really isn't that hard to do. It's hard to be patient to create content. You know, you know this, how long did it take you to get 1,000 respondents, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't hard. It was time consuming.
Correct.
So my tip is to use other people's research. You know, marketing profs, a great resource for research almost every day. There's a specialist there. His name's Ayaz. And what he does is he's like the research curator. And so inside the story that you're telling about anything, really, especially in this, you know, nonfiction world, marketing, you know, we have a little bit of a tunnel vision because we're all about marketing. Mm-hmm. But there's research out there that somebody else did for you. And, you know, every day I'm looking at it. It might be a super deep piece. It might be this piece we've been talking about today, you know, how bloggers do what they do. How do you compare to serious bloggers? Just extract a little tiny bit of it, you know, sprinkle it in your story or, you know, go away from it, come back to it. And you've kind of got a research-based piece yourself without having done the research.
Sure. Yep. Happens all the time. It's a smart way to produce content. It's very efficient. And you can also sometimes look and see what's getting traction from that other content. And that'll give you a big clue into what's worth repurposing and putting into yours.
Next up is the mousetrap. Andy's in charge of mousetrap tips.
I've got a mousetrap tip for you. This is something that I've been thinking about because it's end of year, and a lot of people are asking me, what are they going to, you know, tips for the new year, and how can I freshen up my site, and like what's going to work well? If you've got only 5 minutes to work on your website, here's what I recommend you do. Go into analytics, go into behavior, the site content all pages report. We'll show you what the top pages are on your website. Go look at those pages and see if there's anything you can do to polish them up. See if you can try a better call to action. See if you can add a little evidence. See if you've got a new testimonial you can put in there. See if there's a video that you haven't produced somewhere else that would land, that would fit nicely into one of those pages. If you have only a small amount of time to work on your website, work on those pages that are already the highway through the site where all the visitors are flowing. So most people don't even know or never think to look at what their top pages are, but time spent on those pages will have a much bigger impact on your site's ability to convert, on the conversion rate for the overall site. Just go where the people are. Find the highway. If your site was a town, there'd be a highway flowing through it. Go to the highway and put your billboards there. That's going to give you the biggest impact with the smallest effort. That's my mousetrap tip for you today.
Very nice.
Wow. I think we're people are probably ready to park. They're having a driveway moment. They got hopefully some good advice, and they're ready to jump out and get to work. So this is another episode of Content Matters. Barry, what are we talking about next week?
I knew that question was coming. I'm spacing a little bit. One of them was visual marketing coming soon, but that's not it, is it? Do you know?
It's not even next week. We're doing this biweekly, right? Analytics. Yeah. We've got analytics coming up next.
Should we stick with that? You just got kind of analytical on us. You want to make that 2 weeks from now and go with the visual marketing one next?
Coming up next time on Content Matters, visual marketing.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, everyone.
It's going to take a